What do we know about alchemists and what they did?
This is another area where, as I say, superstition and science begin to blur and meld together. Because alchemists were actually the forerunners of modern chemistry. And the alchemist is where we get the word chemist from. So we're getting a sort of blurring. Now, the alchemists began to look for various things. They were early scientists, if you like. They looked mainly for three mystical things. They were tied up with mysticism. They were tied up with allegedly tied up with mysticism and the occult. Part of this may have been propaganda. Some of them certainly believed that they were trying to find certain things, certain mystical things. They searched for three things. The first was the Philosopher's Stone. Now, if you know your Harry Potter, you will know about the Philosopher's Stone, and you will know about the main man who searched for it, and that was Nicolas Flamel in 14th century France. So the Philosopher's Stone was a thing, an element, which turned base metal into gold. Was greatly allegedly sought after. The second thing they sought was the Emerald Tablet. Now, the Emerald Tablet was an element in which a number of grains could be dropped into a drink, and if you drank that, it would increase your lifespan. And there were certain people who were said to be immortal because they had drunk of the Comte de Saint-Germain, for example. The third thing, and most importantly from this book aspect, was that they thought they would search for a seed from which a man could be grown, like a plant, and they could create life. And they began to look at things in alembics and jars, which were supposed to be the basis of life and to grow people. Now, that was interestingly politically, because if you could grow a man, as some alchemists claimed they could,
like you would grow a plant,
You had a basic seed which you could place in certain nutrients, and the man would grow from it. But if you could grow a man, then you could also grow an army. Some of these alchemists were privately financed, and perhaps secretly financed, by nobles, by emperors, by kings, by counts of the time. Now, whether or not they could do that is open to question. But the reputation, if you had a man working with you who claimed he could grow you an army, and your enemies knew about that, then they would think twice about attacking you, and it would give you great political prestige in whatever area you lived. So the alchemists worked in this area. Of course, as we mentioned before, they often had to work in secret because their greatest opponent was the church. So they wrote their experiments down in something like code, in stories. For instance, the most famous is the chemical wedding of Christian Rosencrantz, which is supposed to be an alchemical experiment couched in the form of a story in which a man goes to a wedding and the guests give him various things along the way. And this is actually putting together some sort of secret which the alchemists had discovered. Now, the alchemists did not work for let's say, monetary gain, although some of them did become quite wealthy because of their patrons. But they were working for what was called the gnosis. That's an old Greek word meaning knowledge. And simply, they were like scientists working to push back the frontiers of science and chemistry and things like that. Now, a lot of them didn't find the things that they were looking for, but they did produce the basis of experiments which we use today. And in a sense, they were the forerunner of the modern chemical scientists. It is said that they could produce stuff like a fog, which right. could make men fall asleep, which might be some form of nerve gas, and although it was not couched in those terms. So you also had brotherhoods of alchemists working together, because these coded messages passed among them, and they formed brotherhoods. The most famous were the Rosicrucians.
Behind all these stories, there's got to be a basis of truth here. I mean, it's just either every culture is making these things up, as you say, metaphors, myths, or something's going on here. And I'm beginning to think that there was some creation going on here.
Well, George, I would tend to agree with you, because I always say that within every myth, there is the seed of reality. And I think that things have been happening in the past that we don't know about, or that we have blotted out, or that we have conveniently forgotten about. And I think that I tend to agree with you that there are perhaps things which have been going on in the past which we're, dare I say, even better not knowing about. And we think we are quite modern, and we're talking about robots, we're talking about cloning, we're talking about this, we're talking about that. But it says, I think in the Bible, that there is nothing new under the sun. So, I suspect that things have been happening in the past that perhaps we're better off not knowing about.